Thanks for tuning in again, everybody. We're back with your favorite podcast, Luca's Tigers and Bronze, Oh My.
All right, Luca Nation, welcome back to your first fractional report of 2022. So whether you're a collectible customer, you're a hobby fan, you're a hobby investor, wherever you categorize yourself, hopefully you guys tune into this episode and get some value. You know, hopefully you get a few key indicators as they talk about in the financial world that could help you make your own buying decisions, whether that's on the collectible app or elsewhere. And Gage, I mean, we are recording on Monday. We have a long weekend, holiday, all that stuff. People on Twitter are like, hey, did you guys do a fractional report this week? Or expecting it. It's kind of like the morning bell.
Yeah, man. You got to get it out. We'll get this out as soon as we finish recording. We'll get it out for you guys. We promise.
I love it, man. I have three things that piqued my interest that I want to discuss on the show today. I also want to let you guys know, so a lot of you asked, you know, how come you guys didn't do kind of like a fractional category for our year-end awards? And frankly, it's because there's really one fractional company in the entire hobby, right? Like Otis and Rally, they're fractional, but they have wine, they have coins, and they have a few cards. Collectible is the only fractional site, fractional company in the sports card space. And if you ask me and a lot of the community, I think they're doing an amazing job in their kind of first year in business. And I couldn't be more bullish on the company, the leadership, the team itself, into what they have going for 2022. So a lot of you guys asked that question. You know, we did the year-end awards. Ken Golden was pumped. Why do an award where there's a pretty obvious winner and it's really the only company in the race, in the fractional race, and that's Collective?
Well, listen, let's make sure, you know, you're a fan of the fractional space in general. And we talked about this in our New Year's episode. I think fractional is the place to be in 2022. I think it's a way for people who can't buy those, you know, low numbered, low pop, you know, gold, fancy pants cards themselves. You can get in them and still get the same returns in whatever you're able to invest, right? And we've talked about the types of cards that move are the types of cards you're not going to walk into your local card show and see. But fractional as a space as a whole is great. I mean, you talked about you're buying on Rally a CryptoPunk, right? But the point that you're making, and it's a valid one, for those of you who are into sports, the sports segment, whether it's the cards or the memorabilia, that is all collectible does, right? So you know, this Andrew tells it to me all the time. He's like, hey, we should do a podcast on this. We should do a podcast on this. And, I know a little bit about wine. I know a little bit about bourbon. I know a little bit about cigars. But this is, you know, this is where you could be a jack of all trades or an ace of one. And maybe I'm a queen or a king. I'm working my way towards ace in the sports card segment. But, you know, it is what it is, you know. So, I mean, take that for what it's worth. But, yes, collectible, if there was a category for Luca Nation Awards for the best fractional, you know, company in the sports area, in the sports arena, sports cards, more memorabilia cards, it would have to be collectible. They're the only ones that's all they do. So without further ado,
and if you guys are listening and you agree or disagree, let us know. Right, if you guys out there are listening and you want to have a say and you disagree, let us know. If you agree, let us know as well. So Kate, let's get started. Let's kick off the data with your favorite sport, or I think this is your favorite sport, baseball.
Hockey.
No, hockey's up 10%, but nobody really cares. It's probably just people buying Mario Lemieux.
Oh, that's, I mean, you know, we talked about Mario Lemieux. We talked about him a bunch of times during our thing. No, there's some hockey cards that are going up. You know, I mean, hockey is, I get a lot of text messages about hockey, by the way. A lot of messages about Gretzky, a lot of messages about Lemieux, a lot of messages about hockey as well. I mean, I guess, you know, cold weather sport, you know, and people are, it is one spot that has not run. So maybe people are thinking it might be the one where, you know, where it runs. Who the heck knows? But yes, continue. You want to talk about baseball. Shoot. Because that is the thing that stuck out the most.
For sure, man. And there's three guys. And two of them I understand. One I don't. Betts, Tatis, and Acuna. I really don't understand the Acuna love. We had a call this week, Cage. You and I were just like riffing. I mean, what has the guy done? You know, I know he's a five-tool player. People talk about him with so much potential. But I think it's kind of a make or break year. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm right. It's a make or break year, in my opinion, for Acuña, because here he went out injured and his team won a World Series. And he's also hasn't performed consistently. But let me give you guys some numbers. So the Tatis Black Label Bowman up 4% this week. Last week it was up. Last week it was flat, but the week before it was up 14% and then 5%. Betts Goldman Gold Bowman up 5% this week, and Betts doesn't go up and down as much for whatever reason. But Acuña up almost 11%.
Because he's played several years and has a track record, and there's something there. And Acuña would be less volatile also had he played during the postseason last year, and people would count that World Series as something that he contributed to. He will still always be a World Series winner, right? You always have a World Series win.
Not in the eyes of the market.
Juan Soto. Juan Soto, right? Juan Soto looked pretty damn good in the World Series. He contributed, hit home runs, you name it. So it's a different scenario. Listen, let's talk about Acuña, man. I think he's great. I think, healthy coming into the season, he's a candidate for 40-40. Which, it's certain athletes that'll do that. The problem, of course, is, if you get hurt, you probably try to rein it in a little bit here and there. It's not an injury you should re-injure. It's a freak thing that happens. It happens in all sports. But he is one of those rare, there's a reason why we talk about Soto and Tatis and Vlad Guerrero and these guys. And even though they came up, several years ago, it doesn't matter who came up last year. If it's Gavin Lux or whoever it is, these guys are still – Randy Arozarena's great, rookie of the year, great. But these guys are the ones we're still talking about years later. Now, Wander Franco comes into the mix. Clearly, he's going to be great. Jason Dominguez at some point in time going to be great. But these are the guys. These are going to be the face of the game for the next 10, 15 years, if not longer. And Acuña's just one of them. He's just one of those guys that, he does special things every time he's on the field. And his cards got beat up possibly more than the other ones because he was injured. He wasn't out there performing. And when you're out of sight, you're out of mind. You know how that works.
So you're saying...
Also, keep in mind, it's up 10%, but the 4 weeks before that were all losing weeks for that. It was down 1%, it was down 10%, 1%, 5%. So it basically just, it was out of sight, out of mind. It was a time where people weren't into baseball. And now what you look at is end of December, people started to look, oh, what should I do to get ready for next year? Well, baseball. Baseball's coming. Let me get into baseball. And you see it. The Bowman cards all went up, right?
Yeah, I don't know why Acuña is the guy people look at, but I understand. It's branding. It's marketing. People know him. People, like you said, he's a five-tool player, 40-40. Not a lot of people would do it. I think Soto, just to me, just always seems overlooked as like the kind of the third horse in the race. But he's the most accomplished out of those three young guys. Yeah. He actually played in the World Series. He hit home runs. He plays well. Yeah. Played consistent. I guess his team has the least promise out of these three teams.
Now. I mean, and that's the other thing with, with Acuña. You'd like to think the returning world champs, assuming they sign Freddie Freeman and the whole deal, and they get him back, they're only adding to a team that just won the World Series. You know what I mean? Now, they weren't the greatest team in the regular season, and it's very hard to repeat in most sports. It's very difficult to repeat. But I think this is more of, Acuña's in there. He's one of the guys they talk about. It's more of Tatis was only up 4% this week, but that's because in the prior weeks, he was up 20%, whereas Acuña was down 20% in those prior weeks. So it sounds like in just a weekly analysis that, wow, Acuña's the one people are going at. No, this is just a retrace, right? Tatis has been kind of trending that way already. If you just look at the two of those guys over the last 5 weeks, Tatis is up more. Acuña is basically flat. So that's the difference. And the same could be, said for Betts. Betts is a little more accomplished, but he doesn't have those wild swings. Can I ask you to pull one up before we move off of baseball? Because I think this is a fun one, right? This is one of those high risk, high potential reward plays. Can you pull up the Gleyber Torres that's on there? Because we've now talked about this a couple of times, right? So, It doesn't get mentioned, and Gleyber has kind of been moved outside of the names that get talked about. People forget the 2018 rookie of the year was in the American League was a guy you might have heard of by the name of Shohei Ohtani, but not far behind him was Gleyber Torres, who had a great year. Miguel Andujar was actually in the top three with him also, two Yankees splitting the votes. But Gleyber, he was one of those guys who could hit 30-something home runs. He's still very young. He's on the Yankees, right? So that is a big deal, right? And we talked about this as almost like a Michael Porter Jr. You know, Porter Jr. was injured. Who knows what happened to his career? But if you look at the numbers on this card, you can pull up the market cap for me on it if you like. But 2 weeks ago, I talked about this one because the share price had gone down to 3, right? And then the week after, it was up over 4. And then it retraced again last week down to 2.8, right? So this is a card I expect, you know, it's got these swings, right? And if you are looking at the segment, right, Gleyber's not going to be playing for a couple of months. No one's playing for a couple of months. But if you see that Tatis is going up, you see that Acuna is going up after an injury season, you see that Betts is going up, you see the prices for baseball going up, you got to figure this segment is going to start to get some movement. And you know, dropping from 4.25 to 2.8 is a pretty big drop. It's probably somebody looking for liquidity, trying to get out of it. Somebody who just says, I'm not going to have my money in Gleyber. Maybe I'll move it over to Acuna. And that's why Acuna went up when Gleyber went down. But this is one that I looked at from last week's data and just said, all right, you know, this one, Gleyber did not look good last year. Right. But keep in mind, these last seasons, they've been crazy seasons. He's a young kid. Right. You have COVID, you know, you have everybody, you know, baseball players more than anybody else, they're creatures of habit. They wear their favorite gloves, their favorite socks. They do all these crazy.
They don't wash their caps.
Yeah. And when things go get out of whack and they're out of their routine, you know, things happen. Also, I've heard they were messing with his swing, you know, and he has all of the tools to put it together. And his cards could be a notch below the guys we just talked about. And right now they're like 8 notches below. What do you got as the market cap on this one? Where did it start? Like
6,000. IPO-wise, it IPO'd at 20,750. It's at 6,000 so a third.
It's less than a third of the price at the IPO. So it's one of those that just stuck out at me because when an entire segment is moving and then you have an outlier like this, I get it. And trust me, I get it. If you're asking me of all the people on Collectible who have a baseball card that are people you want to invest in, you know, Gleyber came right out of the gate. Like these guys were all talked about. Look at Gleyber, you know, look at Soto, look at Tatis, look at their rookie cards. They're all going to be great. You know, even Pete Alonso there for a minute, you know, although he's a little older than the rest of the guys. And Gleyber has not looked good, but this is one where I would anticipate there are people out there who are, you know, willing to risk it for a potential reward. Just because this has been beaten up, I imagine as we get into once spring training opens up, the lockout is done and ball has started to be played, you probably get some headlines. Gleyber Torres looks in rare form again. Gleyber Torres looks like he's back to his 2018, 2019 form. You know, Gleyber primed to, you know, take control of the second base spot at the Yankees and hit in the middle of the lineup behind X, Y, and Z and, you know, prime for a great season again. You know, the Yankees tweaked Gleyber's swing this year and it looks like he's going to have way more power. And all of a sudden, this card, like, you know, goes one of those kind of things. So, you know, it's just one that stuck out to me. Because when baseball is all moving and this one's moving the opposite direction, it's one to just take a look at. If you're not a believer in Gleyber or you think that the last season and a half or more than a blip, and it's just he's now reverted to what he's going to be, stay away from it, you know?
All right, well, let's keep riffing. So this next play, this next opportunity is probably one that you guys didn't think that I would be bringing you, but I think
we know where he's going.
Exactly. So think about it this way. If a Fortune 500 or even a Fortune 100 company misses earnings, that stock is going to fall. But it's going to fall temporarily because a Fortune 100 company, a Fortune 500 company, we know, has a good cash flow, has a good potential, has a track record of success, and it has the right things on the ship to correct it. And that's LeBron, right? So LeBron's been sold off week over week over week. And probably rightfully so, because the expectations were he would at least contend for a fifth championship this year. And watching the Lakers play this season has left a lot, you know, what did they say? A lot to doubt? No.
A lot to be desired.
That's what they say. A lot to be desired. But here's the thing. I've watched LeBron for a long time. And this guy, they say you can't just turn the switch on. But the people who say that have never watched LeBron play, because he could turn it on and off at any time. Because if you were to ask me, how would I categorize LeBron? He's the best athlete that's ever played any sport. Right?
Wow.
It's not even close, in my opinion. I think he's the best athlete that's played any sport.
Not to mention, he's going to win an Academy Award for Space Jam this year. So, no, I mean, he's just a fantastic actor to boot. No, he better not. That was horrible.
I hope not. But dude, if you just go across the board, and like we could start with, you know, the LeBron Ultimate card, it's been down 3%, 4%, 1%, and then again down 7%. The LeBron Exquisite RPA, I'll pull these up in a second. Down almost 3%. It's been down the last 4 weeks. Nothing huge.
I looked at the Chrome Black Refractor, you know, 3% down. The LeBron Ultimate down about 7%. I looked at a lot of, you know, that segment. The LeBron, even the Exquisite RPA of his.
So which one should we pull up first? Down. Let's go Exquisite RPA first, because that's like his go-to card. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that this team, with the help of Malik Monk, will turn things around. That's a joke, guys. Don't kill me. But look at this. I mean, the 8.5 recently, I think, sold for 2.3, 2.4 million. This card IPO'd at 1.3 million. Now it's 1.17 million. So, I mean,
let's take a look at the card for a second.
Sure.
Decent patch. So guys, this one's a little bit down, but let's talk about these, right? So be careful on these, right? We talk about the comps, we talk about the headlines, right? So this one is the one that's a little more difficult, right? I've heard actually people say something like, well, this one at a 1.2-ish million market cap seems like a bargain for a BGS 8.5 when a BGS 9 sold for $5.2 million. We've actually been told that. Like, isn't this a bargain when a BGS 9 sells for 5.2? What's this one numbered out of it, Andrew? Are you looking at it?
99.
The 5.2 was a parallel numbered out of 23. So everybody has to be careful. There are the card looks almost exactly the same, but it's a parallel of it, right? And they're numbered to 23. That's the one that sold on PWCC for $5.2 million. There are also numbered versions of this. And the higher price one was number 23 of 99. So be careful when looking at comps on these cards, right? Because things like the number one of 99 is probably going to sell for a little more money. And things like the patch, when the patch has three colors, it's got a cool piece of his jersey, maybe it's got some lettering on it from that says Cleveland across it or something like that. Those often carry premiums as well. So this one, above all the other ones, and when we look at we can look at the Ultimate, we can look at the Black Refractor. Those are, you know, those are easier to comp up, and they're also down. But when you're talking about, you know, this particular card, I mean, you could easily have one that's 1.1, 1.4, 1.2 like this one because of those variables that are out there. It's very difficult when you're comping this one. And just be careful when you're comparing this one to the other ones that are out there. A lot of variables.
Yeah, 1,000%. Another play on this that I think somebody who's looking at this card may be considering, Cage. And I know you're not a big fan of this, but I do believe this happens. We've talked to people, reputable people, that the Black Label Kobe Refractor was bumped like 60 times. So if you look at this card, and the white background makes it difficult, but if you look at it, the subgrades are 9.5 centering, 9 edges, 9.5 surface, and then the corners are an 8 outlier. If you could bump those corners, Cage, to an 8.5, this becomes a 9.
Yep.
And that instantly adds millions to the value of the card. For better or worse, that's just how it works. Same card, just a greater on a different.
It has good subgrades. It's great centering. I mean, that's a huge thing. Also, you know, the card has a great look to it. And yeah, you're 100% right. I mean, the subgrades. You know, if that was just an 8.5 instead of an 8, it adds probably 6 figures to the card. Easy
for sure. And someone could buy it out.
Several high six figures.
So I project it like this. Typically, people buy out cards. Typically, not always. When there's a run on that player, right? So right now it's been a sell-off, so no one's really – but this Lakers team, they make a change at the trade deadline. Anthony Davis comes back, and they win 10, 12, 15 in a row, and it looks like this Lakers team's turning around. This card is no longer below market cap, below the IPO of the market. Somebody might come in and want to buy this card out. So just
– we made a point in our podcast this week, and it's basically, look, when LeBron is healthy, Anthony Davis is back healthy, and they're playing with a little bit of momentum – and they got Westbrook playing whatever role he's going to play, whether it's on the, off the bench as a six man or he's contributing and Carmelo, they might not be the best team from a cohesive unit standpoint in the West, but I guarantee you no team out there in the West wants to play them in the playoffs.
No way.
Right. So, and that becomes the narrative, right? And the team looks lost, but they've started to put it together. And, you know, these numbers don't take into account the last couple of games that LeBron has put out there where he basically single-handedly putting the team on his back and just looking rejuvenated. You know, believe it or not, putting himself into the MVP conversation, which,
rightfully so.
You know, everybody thought was, you know, potentially a Curry runaway type of award this year. You know, I will say this, right? So take a look.
It is Curry's award, just so we're clear. The Curry just beat the – well, dude, they just beat the Jazz, who are top three team. Say what you want, their top three regular season team. Mm-hmm. They just beat the Jazz at Utah, down double for figures, without Draymond Green.
Yep.
So, yeah. I mean, it's really tough for me to give anyone else the award, but it's a long season.
They play
it's
very not even good halfway through. And that's right. That's what I was going to say. You can't give anybody an award yet because we have
35 games in.
We reached the halfway point, right? So, and listen, it's a great thing to talk about, right? So, is it that LeBron was beat up, or is the entire modern-ish basketball slightly getting beat up right now, right? So, basketball was down overall about 3.6% this past week. So, when you look at, you know, LeBron exquisite only down 2.7, it's actually a little better. The ultimate down 7. The black refracted down 3.65, right in line with the segment. What I noticed was there were other cards out there that had kind of like the same, you know, the same thing. One that stuck out for me. Well, sure, please.
That reminds me of when you watch in the stock market when an entire sector is down because there's not a ton of positive mm-hmm. news. Think about the news for the NBA this year. The sole bright spot has been Curry, right? You have a lot of players missing time with COVID. You have the young players injured, Zion, Luka, and Ja, all missing significant time with injury. So you have COVID, you have injuries, you have the other darling, Trae Young and his team struggling. LeBron, which is the bellwether of the hobby, dealing with early season adversity. Most of the news that would move cards in one direction or the other has been negative. Other than Curry and DeRozan, even though there's no DeRozan cards, and the Bulls, there's been a lot of negative news. Even Jason Tatum and this Boston Celtics team. What are they going to do? Are they going to blow it up? So you're absolutely right. It's not even player-specific. To me, it's more sector-specific.
But when it turns around, the top names and 1,000%. The top players are going to be the first ones to move. And that's why the LeBron play might be something that's interesting because his cards are not necessarily down because he is not performing, right? The Lakers didn't look great, but they look like they, you know, they have a little momentum going now, and he's obviously performing at a high level. So when that basketball, when we get into that second half of the season, when basketball starts to be what people are talking about, we're making those playoff pushes, it's an interesting thing. Another one, right? And for comps. So you can look at a bunch of these guys, but it just shows that the whole basketball is down. You can look at that silver basket that we talked about. Remember, that was up. It came back down again. We talked about last week, and it went up, and now it came back down. You look at that. I mean, obviously, you know, Trey and Luka and those guys. But the one that I wanted to look at on Luka is check out the Luka blue, the blue parallel.
Color,
because
color
match. It kind of checks a lot of boxes for people, right? It's one of those cards that people who were Luka investors – who said, I don't want to buy his base anymore. I don't want to buy his silver anymore because there's too many of these. This is numbered. I think it's numbered at a 199, the blue, right? Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. I think the red was 299. Yep. Obviously, that means there's less than 199 PSA 10s. I mean, this is one that it's PSA 10. We've seen the value kind of bounce around a little bit. Week over week, This one definitely came down. It was, I mean, you can take a look at the market cap, but share price 975 down to 820. And if you look at last week's, you know, chart, it kind of came down a little bit on that one. The reason for it is these things don't come up that often. Luka is not having the season that a lot of people thought that he was going to have. But there was a recent comp on the Luka blue. And I think it was, where was it? What auction house had it? That Luka blue. PWCC had it in their premier sale. It's over 56.4. And I'm pretty sure the market cap on this is about 10% lower than that now. you know, when we've talked about this card a few times, it's been in the 60s, 65, that kind of range. This is one of those where I would keep an eye on it. Obviously, you see the comp at 56.4. You know, if it falls a little bit, remember, it was down like 16% last week. If it falls a little bit into the 40s, this one might be one somebody, you know, would potentially take off the market. You know what I mean?
Here's what I would watch for, guys. So this COVID kind of spreads through teams, if you notice, right? So some teams, you'll look at their injury report, they got nobody. Other teams are dealing with COVID. So the Mavs are in progress of like beating COVID as a team. But now just Porzingis went on the COVID list and Luka came back last night. When Luka wasn't playing, KP, they still call him the unicorn cage?
Yes.
Some people. He played really well without Luka.
Yeah, so did Brunson in his place. So did Brunson. Played very well.
And this team is interesting. This isn't the Mavs team of old. This isn't a Mavs team that's putting up 120 points a game. This team defends hard, man. Really tough. Like, they're like this like team that's put like beating teams like 90 to 80 or 100 to 90, which isn't typical with Luka and this NBA. I want to see how they mesh. I'm going to say 25% chance they mesh and they're a really dynamic team. But at the same time, I don't know how him and KP are going to play together. They don't complement each other too well from what I've seen. So that worries me. But I got to give credit to Jason Kidd. He came in and he's changed the identity of this team from what I've seen from just like a running gun. You know, Luka gets the ball, shoots the ball 40, 50 times to we're going to defend and we're going to defend hard and we're going to play good team ball. So something to look out for in the next, you know, maybe 3-4 weeks before the trade deadline. How does Luka, Jalen Brunson, Tim Hardaway, KP, I like Reggie Bullock. How does this team mesh and can they really make a run at that 4 seed?
My take on this one is, it's great analysis. We got Luka stuff. Is Luka, you know, people think he's going to be a star in the league for a very long time, whether with this team as currently constituted or another, right? And we saw last month a Luka auction, the 10-10 on his National Treasures, stuff for what, $760,000 or something like that, right? So you know that there's high-end money for the right Luka cards, right? We know that one of his, the one of one sold for what, $4 million ungraded, right, for the Luka. So there's high-end money on it. This is not in that category. It's not an autographed card. But as far as the non-autographed cards, you know, with the exception of the golds and the black golds, this is right there, right? It's the color match, blue, PSA 10, unimprovable card, you know, from a condition standpoint. And, you know, were there a couple dozen of these in PSA 10, you know? So it's one of those cards where, you know, it's sneaky when people are trying to, you know, color up and they were getting $6,000 or $7,000 previously for their Luka Silvers. This is now coming down enough where it's not that far of a cry for somebody who, you know, somebody who did well and wants to trade in a lot of their Luka smaller stuff for, you know, quote unquote, high end Luka. You know, I don't know if it's there yet at $51,000, but if it continues the slide, it's one I would just put on a watch list.
The Luka market interests me and it worries me because if you look at his stats, his numbers are down, not significantly. He's scoring 3 less points a game. 28 points per game last year, 25 points per game this year. And his team hasn't showed significant improvement, yet his cards are setting record highs, right? So sometimes you have this kind of performance is lagging, but record prices, are, like you're still seeing record prices. I'm curious how that plays out. That's my only thing with it.
Can we talk about a card? Normally, sure. I look at ones that's like, oh, wow, look at that Glaber. It's down. And this could be the last one we talk about, guys. We've touched on every sport, right? But we talk about a card that IPO'd at a certain number. You know, oh, look at that IPO'd. It's down 60%. That's a bargain now. How about one where it IPO'd, flew, and is now coming back down to earth with a pretty significant drop last week, this week over. It's the Josh Allen Gold. Can you pull that one up for me? Still significantly higher than it was, you know, when it IPO'd. And I think it's still triple what it had as a market value, you know, when it IPO'd. And it's still more than triple its IPO price. But this was one that was, I mean, look at that spike there. It was $50 a share. At the close of last week, down to 32 after closing at 45 per share the week before. So what do we got as a market cap on this now?
So IPO'd at 30K. Now it's 96,000. So 3.6 times more.
So you got this one here, gold out of 10, rookie, 96. It's one that was over well over $100,000, right? This was one that, you know, even last week, I think the share price was 45. How many shares are out there? 3,000?
Let me check.
Right, I think. So I'm pretty sure that shares. Even at, yep. Yeah, so at close of last week, you know, we're talking about being 135,000 as its market value. You know, what's going on with the AFC East now, though? That's the thing, right? You look at this and you say, okay.
You know what this reminds me of, Cage? It's like the new NFT projects, new PFP projects that come out, right? One week it's Allen, the next week it's Herbert, the next week it's Burrow, and then we're playing this musical game of musical chairs. Because to me, they're all clearly second tier. They're not at the Mahomes level. None of them have a MVP. None of them have a Super Bowl, and they're obviously not on Brady level. So it's this game of musical chairs of people moving money around looking for the next quarterback to speculate on. I'd be careful with these that have already run up so significantly. You need so much of them. Like up until – it's okay. Go ahead. I'll riff. Up until last, you know, 3 weeks, it was Josh Allen, right? The first 4 weeks of the season was Josh Allen. The second 4 weeks of the season was Herbert. The next 4 weeks is going to be Burrow. The point is, you're kind of always catching your tail, right, with these guys, because none of them are MVPs. None of them have won a Super Bowl. They don't have the legendary status of Tom Brady, but they already have run up 3 and 4X. One thing to just add, and I'll get your take, this is the Prizm Gold. So there's that added premium of everyone's chasing Prizm Golds. So you have a very good player on a Prizm Gold. Yes.
Right? If this is your guy, right? You know, last week, the reason it came down was you were looking at maybe New England, maybe you were looking at, you know, this, you know, he might not even be in the playoffs. You know, as we sit here, we have the benefit of watching him yesterday with a bunch of rushing touchdowns. And in first place right now with the division lead in the AFC East, they'd be the 4 seed, jumped over by the Bengals. Who knows what happens in week 17. But the Bills would be one of the teams where you know, where they now are going to have, you know, most likely a home, you know, playoff game. You know, they have a shot with next week to, you know, if they play the Jets next week. So I don't think anybody's going to lose. They can move up to number 2, depending on what the Chiefs and Bengals do. They're not taking number 1 with the Titans because they have tiebreakers. But the point, I guess, is, you know, this was a little more questionable, a little, you know, a little better now. We have the Falcons, they beat them. We have the Jets. You know, this team is going to finish 11 and 6, most likely. Sorry, Jets fans. And it is a gold. It's one that there's only going to ever be 10 of this rookie. People, you've seen the prices people are paying for, you know, rookie golds. And this one was just, you're 100% right. People got crazy with it, right? He was, you know, talk about potentially MVP. You know, he's run away with the division. The Patriots during the season gave him a little more than they thought they were going to, you know, going to get. Made that division a little tougher for the Bills than probably people thought it was going to be. And yeah, I mean, Josh Allen, did he take potentially a half a step back down to earth? I still think he looks pretty darn good. He just was not a Pro Bowler this year because you're right, Mahomes and then Herbert. And maybe next year it's Mahomes and Burrow.
It's the AFC quarterback theory that you have. I mean, how many good quarterbacks? I mean, there's a lot in the AFC. And this is a down year for Lamar, too. And I know how people feel about Lamar, but I mean, there's some really good young quarterbacks in the AFC. Really?
I guess when we're talking about this one, obviously it's gone up significantly from its IPO. We've talked about that. It's already a 3X from its IPO. But would it shock you if they took out the Bengals or the Titans in the playoffs? Would it really shock you? I'm not talking about whether he'd be favored, but would it shock you if this Bills team with Josh Allen at the quarterback made it to the Super Bowl? It wouldn't be a shock. It would be an upset, definitely. But the way this team has played during the year,
you'd get better odds just playing a futures line on the Bills than investing on the quarterback.
I get that, but that's all or nothing, And that's a great argument, right? Because this card is not all or nothing. It is a gold prism card that doesn't have a downside of zero like betting on the Bills would. It has a significantly lower downside because guess what? Josh Allen's going to be playing next year, even if he doesn't make the Super Bowl this year. And while your play, yes, you get better odds on betting than making a Super Bowl, my take is when a card like this, as it's now retreated from 50 or 45 down to 32, and maybe it retreats into the 20s, who knows, the downside becomes what? Not zero, like a futures bet would be. And you're talking about a guy who maybe next year, if they add a receiver for him or they add somebody else, maybe becomes a favorite to go back again and repeat with that great defense and the all 9 years. So it's one of those things where I get what you're saying. There is a, you know, it's better to get the futures bet, but futures bet is an all or nothing proposition. This one, you have upside and downside, right? You know, so
let me put it to you this way. So I agree with all that. And short term, I'm worried that there's significantly more downside than upside. However, long term, he reminds me a lot of what I imagine Dan Marino was like in his day. And I think his
he's much more mobile than Dan Marino.
But Dan Marino might have
had like six rushing yards in his career.
Right, but Dan Marino was an incredible quarterback who never won, right?
The best in the game. The best in the game for a while, yep.
It wouldn't surprise me for the next 5 to 7 years, this team was, you know, 12-4 every season with a few seasons, maybe going 15-1, 14-2. This is a very, very good team. Now, they're in the New England Patriots division, so that's a loss every year. But they also have the Jets and the Dolphins, so there's that. But I think Josh Allen could have that type of career where I don't know if they're ever going to win the Super Bowl, but I think that he's going to be a winning quarterback year over year over year over year. He's very young. He's 25. Dude, and he's a physical specimen. I think he's 6'5". He can run. He's got a cannon. So he has a bright future, very bright future.
Yeah, and remember, Prism Gold is where it's at right now. It's not my favorite thing in the world, but people are paying crazy, crazy amounts for these gold cards. And this is a gold rookie of one of the top young quarterbacks. It's the right position. It's one of the right players. I don't know what, you know, we could look a comp on this, but what's a Mahomes gold go for? You know what I mean? What's a Mahomes gold in BGS9? I hate to put you on the spot, right? I mean, there can't be that many Herberts that have been graded, but you know, we could take a look and see what a Mahomes prism gold would be. I guarantee you it's more than this. And the best part about it is, and we talk about this all the time, we could take it home with this, guys, because, you know,
528,000, but that was a PSA 10.
500 for a PSA 10, right? But the gold, I know 10 is better than 9.5. There's only 10 of them, right? So the grade, you know, the grade is important, but it's, you know, but the point is, this is now, you know, one fifth of what the Mahomes would go for. And Mahomes has accomplished more. I'm not comparing them, but I am comparing them when you talk about it being 20% of the value, right? So, keep in mind, I guess, you know, my take on this one is, you know, it's gold. There's only going to be 10 golds, but here's the deal, right? That Mahomes, we say it's worth $500,000. If I gave you $500,000 right now, can you go buy me one?
Good point. Like you're saying, you need a seller to pair with me wanting to buy.
Exactly.
And who's selling
it? It's with Mahomes guys, right? And there are some Josh Allen fanboys also. There are some people who think Josh Allen is going to be the next one, right? So the people who have Josh Allen in this gold, if there's somebody out there who wants this, you know, this Josh Allen card, you know, it's going to be name your price kind of thing, right? So just to put a bow on it and wrap it up here, this is exactly why I think this is the year of fractional, why I think fractional is the space that people are going to start looking in, because it's the only place you're going to be able to find things like a Patrick Mahomes National Treasures available for sale, right? It's the only place you're going to be able to find the cards that we talked about here on the show, the Steph Curry that got bought out, right? That's what makes this space special, because look, I may have $100,000 and believe in Josh Allen. Say, this is going to be the guy. I think this card's worth $200,000-$300,000 because I think he's going to go on a run here. And if he doesn't, he'll go on a run next year or the year after. And I feel safe putting money in it. I can go to card shows after card shows. I can contact people all over the place and say, I need the Josh Allen gold. It's only 10 of them, right? I might not be able to find one. That's what makes fractional the, you know, the, I think, a space where, you know, it's interesting for 2022. Not saying it's a bargain right now, guys, because I understand exactly what you're saying. And you know, anybody who listens to me knows about the AFC quarterback stuff. Shoot.
One thing that frustrates me is, so I'm on Card Ladder, I'm looking at data. So there's a rookie autographs gold of Mahomes, BGS 95. How much do you, so I just told you the PSA 10 is 500K and change. How much do you think
is the rookie autographs? Is it Prism autograph?
Prism rookie autographs.
Is it a Prism? I don't know, 600,000.
55,000.
55,000 for gold. It's also out of 10. Is it also a rookie? That's a 9.5/10, right?
Last sold, right there. So, anyway.
Yeah, when did it sell? When did it sell?
They don't have sales data available.
Did it sell in September of 2020? You know, like. That's the important part. You're on mute.
Last thing, last one. Give 2 minutes. We'll wrap it up here. It's the Michael Jordan Fleer up 12% this week. And I've been it's been flat, but it was down a little bit right before that. I think this card makes a run. You own this card. I think this card starts moving again. It's been flat for a while. And here's the biggest thing. And this is data. This is just data. You told me there's only really one of these selling per month. Where at some point...
On auctions. And they're starting to move up. The recent auctions are higher than they were a couple months ago, definitely.
So there's always demand for this card. But at times, when this card hits these new record highs, you see a lot of supply hit the market and three, four auctions, five auctions end a month. When that supply dries up, no one's selling. There's only, 300 of them on a PSA 10. Right. You're going to start to see it some movement.
The old ceilings become the new floors. I don't know if you can find it. I think you posted it on Instagram, but Ken Golden a couple months ago talked about how in January, February, when those prices hit, he got an influx of those cards. You know, when this thing was selling for $600,000-$700,000, everybody sent it to him to sell, and he had to kind of ration them out to sell them, you know, over time. And he was doing two, three per auction, several of them per month himself, in addition to the ones that were being auctioned at other auction houses. And he came out, I don't remember if it was July or August or September, some point he came out with a video and was like, that's it. The one I have this month, that's the last one I have in house. I've gone through the backlog of selling on these things. We're through the supply. And, you know, he still gets them in to sell, but I'm sure he doesn't have a 40 backlog to run through every auction. And you don't said have this, that, you don't have that supply.
You said this last year when we first started our show, right after the last dance aired, you explained how this Jordan card moves and how every single time it hits these new highs. Crazy that when the last dance hit, it was an $80,000 card. Remember that?
Yeah. Well, listen, I remember it going, you know, 25 to 50 to 100, back down, then back up, and then down, and then up, and now down, and then, you know, it's one of those things. You know, you take a look at the chart, you'll see how it moves. Obviously, it had a monumental move this year, and, you know, a significant pullback has happened, but, you know, it's starting to move back up just because you don't see one in every single auction anymore.
That's another fractional episode. Any final words before we wrap?
No. Having fun, man. Having fun. What do you think? I'll ask you a question for the final words. Zion, do you think he plays this year? And if you do, if your answer is in the affirmative, do you look at a card like his Stars and Stripes National Treasure RPA that was flat this week but had a huge 40% drop, if memory serves, the week before we talked about? A card like that that has a market cap now down to like $53,000 with recent comps in the 70s. Or do you say, I'm staying away from it because I'll wait on that until I see him actually do something that, you know, that warrants me investing in him? Talk about Zion.
I don't think Zion's a play. I think, and it's not a shadow on his health or anything like that. I think even at best, if he comes back and he plays his best, I think there's significant players that have more upside than Zion. I still think LeBron has more upside than Zion. So for me, he's not a play. And it's not that I don't think he's going to play or not, because that's all speculation. I think assuming best case scenario that he even comes back and plays, if that happens, his upside is like a 20-10 season where his team misses the playoffs. And I just don't think that's going to cut it. So that's my take. That's another fractional episode. We love you guys. We'll be back with your regularly scheduled programming tomorrow. We wish you an awesome start to 2022. Many of you guys are first day back at the office or at work. Many people are working remote, so first day back kind of, you know, back online, back working, but, you know, taking it slow. Hope you're enjoying.
Thank you for spending some time with us on another episode of the Lucas Tigers and Bronze Oh My podcast. Do us a favor and like, subscribe. Now, you know what? Don't just like and subscribe. Everybody does that. If you like us, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your enemies, tell everybody. And we hope you got something from spending some time with us today, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.